Welcome back to the Elias Macko Show. Let's talk a bit about Bill C-11. And don't worry if you don't know what Bill C-11 is, we are going to tell you. Bill C-11 gives the CRTC unprecedented regulatory authority to regulate online content. The power extends to penalizing content creators and the platforms they use to publish. Our next guest this week suggested that Bill C-11 and the Canadian government, they've gone off the rails. Let's find out more. Michael Geist is on the line from the University of Ottawa. He's a Canada Research Chair in Internet Law. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
First things first, I want you to explain to our listeners what Bill C-11 is in your mind.
Sure. So there's what it is and what the government said it had in mind. I'll just mention what it said it had in mind was to bring the large streaming services, the Netflixes and Disneys of the world, into the Canadian broadcasting system with the prospect of some mandated payments to contribute to Canadian content production and greater exposure or so-called discoverability of Canadian content on their platforms. That's what they said they had in mind. What it is a bill that encompasses every streaming service anywhere in the world as a default, and even more, covers user content as well. And so despite continual protestations from the government that it's not in, the consensus view from virtually every witness who's now appeared before a Senate committee hearing, including the CRTC, which would govern all of this, is that user content, TikTok videos, things posted to YouTube, will often be caught by this legislation as well. And that's where I think there's been an enormous amount of concern.
So is this a case of a law being poorly written and the government just failing to acknowledge that they've poorly written it? Or is there something under the surface that they actually intend for how this law is written?
Right. I think it is more the latter, because in many ways, I don't think we can attribute it to poor drafting, because you know, this has now been the subject of debate for going on a couple of years almost, dating back to a prior bill that died when there was an election call. So this issue has been very much on the table for a very long time, at least a year and a half, I guess, since the government made the move to bring in user content into the bill. And so I think it's quite clearly intentional. And there are, I should note, there are not many, but there are at least a couple of groups that have been lobbying for this, most notably, frankly, Quebec music groups that would like to see this this kind of broader interpretation brought within the legislation. And the government's approach has been this curious one of simply acquiescing to those lobbyist demands while at the same time trying to tell anybody who will listen that that's not at all what they're doing. And yet, you know, legal experts, certainly the platforms themselves, the CRTC, other experts have all come forward saying that there simply is no other reading of this legislation, but that it does cover user content.
Michael, I'm happy you brought up music and how the Quebec music industry is lobbying for the bill here. And I just want to point this out, because I think this could be an argument for a law like Bill C-11, right? Look at the music industry in Canada. And look what happened when CanCon regulations came into place. It actually did create a music scene here that has become an international export, right? Like, think of the Canadian artists that exist because Canadian radio stations were forced to play music, right? So I sort of see like, well, geez, now everything's on the internet. Maybe we need to foster that in other ways, right? So is there anything that from this from Bill C-11 that should be salvaged, like things to protect musicians and create a music industry as the music industry heads, of course, like 100% online?
Well, as you say, it has been a success story. It continues to be a success story. We're seeing record revenues coming out of the streaming services for royalties and the like. SoCan, for example, more and more sees almost the vast majority of their revenue, or all the growth, is coming from internet streaming services. So there is a bit of an argument, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. But this isn't really a debate about those curated services, the Netflixes and Spotifys of the world. This, for the most part within this legislation, has been a debate around the inclusion of user content. Now, there are questions, even to your point, about how radio stations in the past promoted this kind of content. What do you do in the internet? That will be sticky points should this legislation move forward. For example, you had a group this week that said that they wanted to see that 30% of the recommendations on a service like Netflix, and presumably the same might be true on Spotify, would be Canadian. if you're saying that their library, which is effectively what they're saying, has to be 30% Canadian, you're effectively requiring these services to remove vast swaths of content because, frankly, there just isn't enough Canadian content to fill their library to meet a 30% requirement.
But, Michael, what
if we're talking about quotas, it's pretty crazy. But there should be some kind of solutions here.
What about if it's not just overall content, but, you know, you log into YouTube and the homepage, 30% of the recommendations have to be Canadian. Do you see, like, man, it's blowing my mind just thinking about that, but, you know, they've done it on radio. Why can't they do it for, you log into YouTube? What do you think of the ramifications are of that? Let's say it were to be, you log into YouTube, and it doesn't have to be the overall content, but 30% of the recommendations on the homepage.
Yeah, we know what the result would be. First off, we don't even know. Much of the content isn't even categorized as Canadian or non-Canadian. Uh-huh. And so what we know is that for many digital creators who don't tick the right boxes as so-called CanCon, they aren't the ones that are going to get to appear on the front page. That's an approach that I think provides real preference for some of the legacy creators and actually hurts many of the most successful digital-first creators who are finding global audiences, but they don't tick the right boxes to even make that 30% that you're talking about. But even if we did move forward with that, what we know would happen is that the algorithms that these companies use look at what and examine what both what people listen to or watch and also what they don't click on or what they watch for 10 seconds and decide it's not interesting to them. And if enough of that content gets presented and then isn't of interest to people because it's there by way of regulation, not by way of what they're actually interested in, then long term what they do is they downgrade that content on a global basis. They say, listen, when presented with this content, people aren't interested in it. They don't watch it or they don't watch it altogether or they don't click on it at all. And so for Canadian creators, many of whom are generating 90% or more of their revenue from global audiences, the risk is massive that they would ultimately be downgraded on a global basis and get far less revenue as a result of the Canadian Heritage Minister Pablo Rodriguez's proposed legislation.
On the Twitter and on your blog, you made some claims of witness intimidation and bullying coming from MPs. Can you just shed quickly some light on that?
Yeah, just an awful situation that actually has come up, been raised in the House and was the subject of debate at the Senate this week. And it involves a particular witness and a group representing some of these digital creators named Scott Benzie, who back in the spring appeared before a Heritage Committee. There were questions raised about where financial support was coming. Fast forward months later, and what appears to be a coordinated effort coming out of Rodriguez's office to co-opt a number of Liberal MPs, notably some said no, including Montreal MP Anthony Housefather said he wouldn't sign on to this, but others did, to file a complaint or a letter of request to investigate by the lobbyist commissioner. There was nothing there, and then that story gets leaked to the media the day before the same individual is scheduled to appear before the Senate. You know, when the government starts investigating its critics, I think we've got real problems, and that's the concern about exactly what happened in this case.
Michael, listen, I always appreciate your voice on the show, and thanks for talking about a complex subject with our listeners. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
That's Michael Geist from the University of Ottawa. He's Canada Research Chair in Internet Law.